about cotton. And last time we started talking about the dirty dozen. We got through the first six. This time we're going to bring Martin Patella back on with us to talk about the last six of the dirty dozen. Hey, Martin, how are you doing this week?
Doing great, Scott. We still haven't finished because I saw yet another vending machine out there.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, and I saw a commercial on television, and it was pushing stuff loaded with the wrong ingredients. Well, clearly, I have not recruited enough, what are they called, enthusiasts, or shall we call them vigilantes that are going to run around the planet shutting down these immoral and, can't even come up with the word, operations. They don't deserve it. Exist.
Well, it's certainly things that they belong to the dirty dozen for a good reason, in that they cause more problems than they solve. And as long as we keep taking the simple way out, the easy way out, the cheap way out, then we're going to be paying the price down the line. And you had mentioned something about garbage in the ocean, and I believe they found a garbage pile in the ocean the size of France. I believe it's in the Pacific Ocean.
Oh.
And where it just sort of all just kind of by tides and waves accumulated in one spot. And if we're in a recession and we need some jobs, let's get some people cleaning up our mess and spend it that way rather than spending it on $100 million bonuses for people on Wall Street that can't handle our money. But anyway, that's another story.
Or making landmines.
Landmines, that's right.
You know, I keep thinking of these poor little pirates in Africa who are having to turn themselves into these enterprising folks that run around on gunboats trying to hijack the ships that are floating by, right?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, who made the guns? And who sold them the guns?
Yeah.
You know, if we just kept them with bows and arrows, we'd be okay.
Well, and the scary thing is probably we sold them the guns and we gave them a loan to buy the guns, which we then forgave.
Yes, possibly that, yes.
So last time we started talking about the dirty dozen. These are 12 foods or additives that we think you need to avoid at all costs. And we started off talking about artificial sweeteners, and then refined sugar was number two, and monosodium glutamate, MSG, and artificial coloring. And I think the last two that we talked about were BHA and BTH.
BHT.
BHT. My dyslexia just popped in there for a second.
You must be poisoned by it already.
Yeah, and sodium nitrates and nitrites and those sort of things. So, Martin, I think it's time to talk about the next... the final six of the Dirty Dozen.
Okay, let's get into it. Number seven, caffeine.
Oh no, all the coffee drinkers head for the hills.
And all the soda drinkers too.
Oh yeah.
And all the cola. chocolate addicts, tea addicts, and all the cigarette addicts too. Nicotine is actually from a similar family. Essentially, we're talking about these... additives, right? The stimulants.
Yeah.
It's an addictive stimulant that's added to soft drinks, gums, diet pills, pain relievers. A little bit of stimulation, if you're feeling sluggish, is okay. But if you're having to rely on your 1.5 cup of coffee or cup of coffee and a cigarette to have bowel movement, you're in trouble.
Yeah. And if you're not careful, caffeine can cause things like birth defects, miscarriages, heart disease, depression, behavioral change, insomnia. And if you're going through withdrawal, your symptoms are going to include headaches, irritability, sleepiness, and lethargy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know what happens to people going through either cigarette withdrawal or coffee withdrawal. They're similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll just sort of ready to bite your head off.
That's right. not pleasant.
Okay.
All right, so let's get on to number eight.
Yeah, now that's an amazing one. This is called the olestra, or OE, which is an artificial fat.
Oh.
This is a fat that's that is not fat. You know, like, it's a calorie-free fat substitute. So in this crazy world...
Sounds perfect.
Oh, beautiful. In this crazy world of reducing fat content, you know, like, we have had this for, I don't know, misdirected nutritionists decided that fat was bad for us.
Yeah.
So that the industrial engineers went to work and said, well, I can make things feel like fat in your mouth because it's the fat provides the mouthfeel, right? It's the creaminess, smoothness, and fullness of taste that fat gives to the food you eat.
Yeah.
You know, like the difference between a moist steak that's been done with all the fat in it versus a piece of stewing meat.
Mm-hmm.
That resembles something that could be on the bottom of a shoe, right? Shoe leather.
Shoe leather
versus juicy steak, right? It's the difference between the two would be the fat content. Anyway, so this olestra has been used to give the food better mouthfeel while reducing the fat content. Stay away from it. And here goes. BDO, brominated vegetable oil.
I actually never heard of that one.
Well, a 2% solution of BDO can poison a child, says this thing here. The way it's used, it's the flavorings, right? It, again, enhances the flavors. You don't need to take too much of it to get in trouble. I guess this goes to, you know, just the general fats. You know, the refined oils, refined fats. Because refined means we have stripped out of it the omega-3s and 6s. And those are the ones you need the most. Because the omega-3s, they are the most fragile fats. They are the ones that prevent inflammation. They are the ones that, if you supplement them, your wrinkles go away and your body looks younger and you lose weight.
Right.
But unfortunately, if the cooking oil is on a shelf in a grocery store in an ordinary bottle, it had to have been refined. There's no other way around it. Because if you leave that, it's rancid within days. So they had to have stripped it out.
And what's scary about this one is it's not required by the FDA to be listed on food labels, so you don't even know if you're getting it a lot of the time.
Right. Yeah, that is nasty. Okay, the next biggie, partially hydrogenated vegetable oil.
This is a goodie.
Yeah. Well, this is the one known as the shortening or margarine or... of course, you know, polysaturated oils. So this one is, if there is a big movement about eliminating hydrogenated oils or hydrogenated fats out of the food. But here's what the regulation says. You can put zero hydrogenated fat on your product, on the bag, so long as there is less than, what was it? 0.5% preserving, or something like that. Gee, I don't remember now the exact definition. But what it amounts to was this. If the serving of potato chips was determined to be 1 ounce, and you have a 10-ounce bag, and you are, you know, getting 0.5 gram, oh yeah, that's it, that's the number, 0.5 gram of hydrogenated fat, or trans fats, as they're known now, in the serving, then you can say zero trans fats on the bag. But you're not going to eat just 1 ounce of it. You're going to eat 6 ounces of it. So now you have eaten 3 grams of hydrogenated fat. And that's not a zero.
Yeah, I don't understand this whole idea of, like, zero is zero. People who are mathematicians are pretty clear on what that is. And to be able to say, well, let's just make this... we'll do this in such a way that we can say if it's less than this, we don't have to put it on. It's just criminal.
Yes, that is precisely what you do. But unfortunately, the dance between the regulators, FDA, and the food manufacturers, who, you know, they struggle. I mean, this is difficult because they need to keep the prices down and be competitive and satisfy the taste requirements of the addicted masses. And they compete with one another, right? So they get there just kicking and screaming. They don't go there voluntarily. And so they have this negotiation, and they come to this deal, a plea bargain. Okay, I'll let you say zero as long as there's half a gram or less in a serving. And then we find the serving is ridiculously small, and then off we go.
Right.
So, zero trans fats, my ass.
Yeah, and who can ever have 10 potato chips?
Yeah, especially when they have the barbecue flavor on it. And check it out, Dottie, it's MSG. Okay.
Number 11. What's number 11 of the Dirty Dozen?
Pesticide. That's, you know, they're all over. I mean, this is the stuff to kill rats and other pests, you know, whether it's to kill... Well, it should be pesticides and herbicides, right? It's the stuff that you pour on carrots, like the azadon, or the stuff that you pour on green peppers and strawberries, you know, like they are heavily, unless they're organic, they're heavily, what shall I call it, sprayed with all kinds of chemical stuff.
Mm.
You know, the softer, the more watery the berry or the vegetable, the more they will be loaded with nasty stuff, unless they're organic.
Well, every year, more than 2 billion pounds of pesticides are applied to food. It's like 10 pounds per person per year.
Yeah. You know, the scariest thing about it is it's cumulative, and it's getting in our sewers, in our rivers, and into the oceans.
Mm.
It doesn't disappear. It just keeps adding.
Yeah.
It doesn't decompose. It stays what it is.
And these are things our bodies can't remove.
No. Once they're in us, they're in us. Well, I recently watched a study that dealt with blood drawn from the cord, the umbilical cord of freshly born infants. And they actually analyzed it. And there are hundreds of chemicals in each one of them.
Wow.
Children aren't being born with it. And the other thing was the chemical analysis of mother's breast milk. Rich in fat, again, rich in these toxins. Not good. Anyway, somehow we need to convince the manufacturers that they need to go out of business. There's no other option. This must stop. We cannot have perfect laws. We cannot have pest-free life and environment. It's wrong. The direction is wrong. If we don't stop, it will kill us.
Yeah. Okay, so here we are at the final...
The last one, the coup de grace. Yeah.
The coup de grace, the dirtiest of the dirty dozen, or the number 12th of the dirty dozen, depending on what you think.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And genetically modified organisms.
GMOs.
This is the craziest thing, where we're introducing into nature these creations we don't understand. You know, like this is becoming quite visible in soy and corn, where the indigenous corn in Mexico is becoming invaded by the genetically modified corn, because corn is pollinated by wind. You know, the pollen just flies down from one field to another, and it's happening. They are starting to see these weird three-headed corns, you know, and all kinds of broken stuff. And what we don't know is what happens to the bees that are pollinating something that has I don't know what, it's a sunflower or something like that, and it gets pollinated somehow with something artificial or genetically modified, and they drag it into their beehive, and then, I don't know, five generations down, what has it done?
Good question. And I think that's one of the reasons we have the problem with bees that we have today.
Maybe. I don't know. Hard to tell. It could be the electromagnetic pollution that's, you know, all over. I mean, we're creating this cloud of EMF that could be significant. But it could be that you know, there was an experiment, you know, with cats. I'm trying to remember. I think it was Schrodinger. Anyway, this fellow was feeding cats only pasteurized milk.
Hmm.
And on fourth generation, the cats were sterile, unable to reproduce. You know,
wow.
Like first generation, some genetic mutations. Second generation, significant genetic problems. Third generation, some are infertile, most of them with genetic problems. Fourth generation, completely infertile.
So I wonder how many generations, or if we're seeing that now even.
Well, with humans, well, we're seeing it a lot. You know, like we're seeing dentition problems, right? Like we used to have full, healthy teeth, right? Now orthodontics are pretty much a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, well, in some countries, they don't do it so regularly. So you see people with these horrendous-looking teeth that are just all over the map, right?
Yeah.
That's degenerative change. Ears, you know, small ears, especially ears that are missing the lower lobes, that's a degenerative feature. The wisdom teeth, you know, there's a form for wisdom teeth in people's jaws. That's a degenerative shift.
Hmm.
I don't know. We could go into it.
So, and when we're talking about the genetic stuff too, we're talking about something different than
hybridization.
Yeah, where you take two plants and you put one branch on the other branch, and a new thing grows, and it's kind of, and that's not genetic.
Yeah, what we're talking about is genetic selection, right? Where you would take the best-looking apple and pollinate it on the strongest apple tree you have, where you would develop the apricots that are bigger or sweeter, or apricots that grow in northern latitudes, or, you know, that sort of selective breeding.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. That's just selective breeding. I mean, it narrows the genetic pool. It creates problems, especially in cows, because these days they just simply raise one prize bull, and they harvest his semen, and then they go and have that bull, the father of a huge number of calves.
Hmm.
So you have now, these days, it's common for one bull to service some, like, 1,000 cows.
Wow.
That's not natural, you know, like, that's narrowing the genetic pool.
Significantly.
Well, anyway, but that's still just within one species. But when we talk genetic modification, we're not grafting a piece of cold water fish into a tomato. Or
right.
We're grafting herbicide resistance into corn. So, you know, like Roundup Ready, I forget which plant it was. It was soy or something, or corn. You know, what that means is that you can plant this, then you can spray it with Roundup. Roundup is a herbicide that kills. It's a systemic herbicide that kills everything. Except for this genetically modified thing that's resistant to Roundup, so it will stay alive.
Hmm.
In a field that's free of other competing plants.
Ouch.
Yeah, bad news. I mean, this thing will bear fruit many generations down the line that we have no idea what it's going to do to us. I mean, I don't know how to say it. Plague God is just wrong. So
there you go.
Instead, go organic, drink filtered, pure water, properly clustered and structured. Pay attention to what you're eating. Chew it well. and get a blender. Get a high power blender. Those are really a wonderful thing. They'll do all the chewing for you. And then when you're drinking the smoothies, then chew those. Not because you need to chew them, but because you need to saturate them with your saliva.
Mm.
And that's sleep. Okay? Sleep well. Sleep is needed. And get one of those electronic suppressing, EMF suppressing or eliminating devices. You know, we sell a few of those, but whatever you get some.
And turn off the TV, because all that advertising will brainwash you.
It might, yeah. I mean, they wouldn't be putting it on the TV if it didn't.
Yep, they get to positive responses, which means you're getting a negative impact.
Well, you're being seduced. You're being seduced into doing things that are not in your best interest. Because the people who have the budgets to advertise on television shouldn't be on television.
Yeah.
It is what it's become, you know. If a company advertises on television, it automatically means they shouldn't be there. And it automatically means that their products shouldn't be touched.
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, I got myself all depressed, so how about we just try and say something cheerful. What do you know, Scott? We're still breathing.
We're still breathing. It's a beautiful sunny day, and it's just interesting the challenges everyone gets in their lives, and our challenge is getting people to think about what they put in their mouth.
Yes. I guess the old saying goes, are you digging your grave with your teeth?
Yeah.
And most of us are.
Yep.
Folks, pay attention. I hate to be such a political activist, but I can't help it.
Well, somebody has to.
Okay. Martin for Life Enthusiast, Coleman, life-enthusiast.com. That's 1-866-543-3388. We're serving you to restore vitality to you and to the planet. Thank you for listening.
Bye-bye, everybody.